There are two announcements. Confession of guilt of sinning against the seventh commandment has been made before the consistory by a confessing member. Vanavond zal er om 7:30 een Hollandse dienst zijn. Tot zover. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. Beloved congregation,
grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shall we sing together Psalter 2:13, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Shall we listen now to the holy law of the Lord, and after that we shall sing Psalter 2:90, stanza 6 and 7. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The scripture reading for this morning service is from Matthew 13, verses 10 till 17 and 31 till 35. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. but whosoever had not, from him shall be taken away even that he had. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Till so far. We will together pray now and give thanks to the Lord for Martin Overduin, who has been rescued. We will also give thanks for family Mary and Ellie Zweep, who had received a baby girl. And we will also give thanks for Mr. Den Hollander and Mr. van der Heijden, who came home from hospital, and for Mr. van den Brink. Shall we pray now? Almighty God, thou art in heaven above, and we dwell beneath on this earth, and between these there is a great distance, especially because we are a sinful people who dwell on the earth, who is full of injustice, and therefore we pray from thee, O Lord, let there be weakness, and let us be humble when we come to thee in our prayers, that we may feel it in our hearts. Thou art the high and holy God, and we are sinful people, so that we may experience thy wonder of grace, that although there is a great distance between thou and thee and us, nevertheless, thou wilt given blessings to such a people which bow down before thy sight. And we beseech thee, O Lord, will thou give it to each and every one of us, those blessings for this life on earth, but also for the everlasting life. And therefore we pray thee that thy name and grace may be hallowed in our hearts and lives. We pray thee for forgiveness from all our sins and guilt, because in evil we did gone astray and away from thee, O Lord. And there is nothing in our hearts nor in our lives that is going out to thee and thy salvation. Give us thy work of the Holy Spirit, and give us thy grace and mercy in Jesus Christ, and let it be a wonder in our eyes for the first time or anew that thou wilt see the sinner not in him or herself, but in the sacrifice of thy beloved Son. O Lord, we pray thee for a blessing for all the services from this Lord's Day, that thou will be in our midst, and that we may dwell in reverence in thy house. Let it be not in vain that we came to the church, but let we may receive everyone, old and young, a blessing for our soul. O Lord, will thou remember thy servant, that he may receive everything that he is in need of, and that thy word may be preached in accordance to the will of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we need the teacher and prophet Jesus Christ himself, and we beseech thee that he may speak to our hearts as the great prophet who can teach us the salvation. Give us an open ear to hear his words, and give us an open eye to see the signs of his delicious and wonderful kingdom. We pray thee, O Lord, for those who are sick, for those who are in sadness, and for those who have many problems in their life. Wilt thou be with all of them and give them thy strength and presence, and that they may learn everything must turn to the best for those who trust the Lord. We pray for thy comfort to everyone who is in fight and sadness, that they may experience thy presence although maybe there are difficult ways to go. We have also many reasons to give thanks to thy holy name, for we may be in healthy and liberty after this week in thy house. Thou were with us every day of the last week. Thou hast kept us in this life and on all our ways. Let us be grateful unto thee, O Lord. We also give praise unto thy name, that thou hast heard the prayers of many, so that Martin Overdune and the others has been rescued. We thank thee, O Lord, for this deliverance, and we pray thee also for the family of those who came into death. We pray thee for all the labors of thy kingdom, especially for those who are in missionary work. Will thou give it to them thy blessings, so that it may be to give thanks to thy name. We thank thee for the blessing of a baby girl in the family sweep. Thou hast made everything well. Let there be in the hearts of the parents gladness and joy in thee, O Lord, for this rich blessing. We give thanks to thee that Mr. Den Hollander and Mr. van der Heijden came home from hospital, and we thank thy name also for Mr. John van den Brink, who had an operation, but thou hast given thy blessings. Let there be in all their hearts thankfulness to thy name, but also dependence on thee for the future. We pray thee for a blessing for all the labors of thy kingdom, especially for those who have to preach thy word. Will thou make everything well, so that thy kingdom may come all over the earth. We thank thee for all the blessings that we daily may receive from thy hand. Oh, let we may see in faith the goodness of thy fatherly love, so that it may break our hearts, so that we may live in the fear of thy name. We pray all these things only for Jesus' sake. Amen. The text for the sermon of this morning you find in Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the earth come and lodge in the branches thereof. Before sermon we will sing Psalter 266, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. after the sermon we sing Psalter 399, stanzas 3 and 4. Beloved congregation, where is the power of the kingdom of the Lord? Where can we see in our world, in our days, the glory of the kingdom of heaven? It was the central message of the Lord Jesus Christ that the kingdom of heaven had come now. But what happened after that time, after the time that Jesus preached about this kingdom? Well, let us see in our own life. Is it for you a reality every day again? A reality that the Lord is King and that He rules forever? Oh, it is not so difficult to sing the Psalter when we are in church, but to experience it daily, that the Lord is King and that His kingdom is on the earth, but also in our hearts. That would be more difficult. And when we see in the world, we can ask, where is the kingdom of God? Was it not in vain that Jesus Christ had preached about this kingdom? And the children of God, when they see in their own hearts, then also they have reason to ask, what can I see of the power and the glory of the kingdom of the Lord in my own life? Well, there can be many questions about this, and the people of the Lord have many times in which they are afraid that they are not in reality a member of that kingdom, and many times they have to confess, I don't live like the King is worthy. I don't live in the ways of the kingdom of the Lord. For there is so little of Him in my own life. Yes, indeed, the kingdom of heaven, it can be hardly seen on this earth, and it can be hardly felt in our hearts, but nevertheless that is shine, because the kingdom of the Lord is present at this world. And it is present in the lives of the children of God. How small it may be, but once there will come a day that the greatness of this kingdom shall be seen. In the future, when the Lord is coming back, then everyone shall see the glory of the kingdom of heaven. And in that future, also the children of God shall have the glory of the Lord. Then it will be perfect in their own lives. So that is what we have to learn and to live in these things in these days, in this life, when we stay a sinful people, the kingdom of the Lord can hardly be seen sometimes. But in the future, then shall the greatness of this kingdom and the glory of God's people be manifest. These things teaches us the parable of the mustard seed. In this parable, Christ reveals to us the kingdom's secret of the contrast. We see the small start and the great finish. In this parable, Christ reveals to us the kingdom's secret of the contrast. We see the small start and the great finish. To this parable is relevant what we read in verse 34 from Matthew 13. Jesus spake in parables. So it is fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Jesus is the great prophet and teacher who is anointed with the Holy Spirit. He is the only one who can reveal us the things from heaven. And he is a good teacher. This prophet can give to sinners the wisdom of salvation. This wisdom and knowledge can be understood only by those who are led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke in parables to reveal secrets. So he spoke the parables of the kingdom to reveal the secrets of the kingdom of God. The Greek word for secrets is mysteria. That's what it is. Mysteria. Secrets. Hidden things. The kingdom of God has mysteries. Notice well, those are not mysterious things. The kingdom of God is not something mysterious, but yet there are secrets, hidden things. And when Jesus speaks about the secrets of the kingdom of God, then he means to say that this kingdom is not from this earth. We cannot see this kingdom with our earthly eyes. We cannot understand the coming, the working of this kingdom with our own intellect and mind. The kingdom of heaven is not from this world. Well, boys and girls, you have to remember this always. You cannot compare this kingdom with any earthly kingdom. Kingdom of heaven is a divine and spiritual kingdom. And therefore we need eyes to see the salvation. We need eyes to see the blessings of this heavenly kingdom. We need opened ears to hear the gospel word of this kingdom. For those who are adept, for those who are in the secret, the parables give a clear message. To them the Holy Spirit reveals in their lives more and more the secrets of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And especially the mysteries give clearness to the properties of this kingdom. The secrets give clearness in the way of salvation. Without these secrets, we don't know how to be saved. Every one of these parables is instructive for the salvation. But don't forget, the meaning of the parables can only be understood by those who went into that kingdom, who are by grace citizens of this heavenly nation. And who are those? Who are those subjects of Jesus Christ, who is the King? Those who know the great secret, namely that Jesus Christ himself is the King of the Kingdom of Heaven. That is the greatest secret, that this man, the simple son of a carpenter from Nazareth, that just he is the true Messiah. Oh, that's a big secret, to know him as he was humble, as he was in suffering, as he was like a servant, to know him as the King of Zion, that in him who gave so many signs in his work, the kingdom of God has come. That's the great secret. And when we don't know this secret, then we shall neither know the other secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But those who with an eye of faith may see him as the person in whom lays all the blessing of Zion, unto such people it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But everyone who did not convert to this king, everyone who stays in an unconverted, to such people it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But everyone who did not convert to this king, everyone who stays in an unconverted state and did not find yet his redemption in this Lord only, unto him it is not given to know the mysteries of this kingdom. So Jesus himself teaches us it is a gift from God, a gift from the Holy Spirit, and there is a people, and always there shall be a people to whom it is given to understand, to see and to hear the secrets of the kingdom of the Lord. And that is the reason why Jesus Christ spoke in parables. That was not strange. Jesus had spoken in parables to the disciples, to those who are learned in the truth of salvation, and those that people could understand what Jesus was speaking about. But now the disciples saw that Jesus was also preaching in parables to the great multitudes. Probably he spoke to the disciples in parables, but now Jesus did it also to the multitude. And the disciples asked him, why? Notice well, Jesus did not start his work with speaking in parables. First, his work was clear and manifest to everyone in Israel. Jesus spoke about the kingdom, and his deeds were signs of his kingdom. But what happened? Israel did not accept his preaching. They refused to convert, especially the leaders of the Jews did not give credence to Jesus. They made resistance against him. The Pharisees said, even from the work of Jesus, that it was the work of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. That was a sign of unbelief and resistance. And after this rejection from Christ and his work, then Jesus speaks in parables also to the multitude, so that in them was fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive, for their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. That's the reason why Jesus speaks in parables also to the multitude. Then the secrets of the kingdom of the Lord they will not understand, although they see them. So we have to understand well this morning, there is a part of the judgment in speaking in parables. Judgment because of their unbelief, because of their rejection from Christ and his work. But at the other side, for those who believe, there come more blessings and a deeper insight in the way of the kingdom of heaven. They understand and perceive the things of this kingdom. So the preaching by means of parables, it gives a separation, a division between the hearers, between those who hear the sermons. So congregation, it is very dangerous to you to listen this morning to a parable, for it shall be to your benefit, or it shall be to your judgment. There is no other way. And therefore, when maybe you not yet came to conversion, when there maybe are among us who reject the Lord and his work, we are warning you, it will be worse when you come not to conversion after this parable. Is that possible? To come to conversion by a parable? Oh, indeed it is. This parable this morning is preached unto us in order that you may come to conversion, come to repentance, come to belief, so that you may learn the secrets of salvation and receive insight in this kingdom of heaven. Well, listen well then, with an open heart, with a prayer in your heart, O Lord, give me an open eye that I may see and understand the secret of the kingdom. What is its secret in this parable? It is the secret of the contrast. A characteristic of this kingdom is the contrast. And therefore Jesus uses the symbol of the grain of a mustard seed. A grain of a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. Jesus makes use of a daily symbol that was not strange for the hearers. Every one of them knew what Jesus was talking about. That is always the case with a parable. A thing from daily life is used to give instruction in spiritual things. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. A man takes it and sows it in the field. This points out activity. For you understand, when there is no sowing, there will come no fruit. It is quite simple, boys and girls, also for you. When that man wants to get mustard, he necessarily has to take and to sow grains of mustard seed. Activity. So it is in the kingdom of heaven. There is divine activity, for the kingdom of heaven has come. God is active toward the redemption for sinners. God is active toward the salvation of his people. Do you understand that already? Did you see it already in your life, that also God is active, God is working? Oh, what had he done much, a lot of work to our souls, to rescue us from all evil? Activity. Do you understand already by your own? When there was no divine activity, oh, then I would never be saved. When there was not the activity of Father, Son, and Ghost, nobody could be saved. But now when there is activity, divine activity, oh, then sinners can be saved. Sinners can come to salvation in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonder? Divine activity for such a people, to save them from all evil, from all sins. Also this day the Lord is active to give you salvation. And who will see that? He will come to church twice a Sunday. Because the Lord is active to give you salvation. Do you understand that secret? It is not from mine activity. Some people think, I have to be active. I have to choose Jesus as my Savior. No, it is a divine work. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift of God. And God is active to save sinners. It is a secret, a hidden thing. But it will be understood by those who believe it. The grain of mustard seed had been sowed in the field. The sowing asks belief and expectation, also a waiting period. After the sowing, there must come a period of growing. And that action of growing is only partly visible. At the same manner, is the kingdom of the Lord present in our world. It grows, but you can see a little bit of it. It is a small begin. And don't forget that mustard seed is the least of all seeds. It is very small, almost invisible. It is so small there can be 750 seeds in 1 gram, very small. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It comes manifest in small things. Who were the first people who followed the Lord? Not important ministers or men from government or parliament. No, it were simple fishermen. And the first signs of this kingdom, they were revealed in Galilee of Haddon, in that despised country. How is that possible? Why not in Jerusalem? Why not the signs of God's kingdom in Babylon? No, because it is like a grain of a mustard seed. Small, little, in the beginning. Those few disciples of Christ formed they the future of Israel? That little crew people who followed Jesus, and many of them belonged to the multitude who didn't knew the law, was this the fulfillment of the prophecies? The scribes gave a laugh about this, and the Pharisees took offense at this. In the Old Testament, the prophets had spoken about the greatness, about the glory of Israel. The mountain of Zion should be of great importance for all people. And so, in their unbelief, they rejected this because the Pharisees didn't understand the secret of that kingdom, that it is coming like a mustard seed. A small start, a little begin. This kingdom reveals himself in little things. It is insignificant in the eyes of man. Oh, there is no need to fear any danger, nor to have any expectation from it. What kind of influence has this kingdom? Oh, the Jews had expected a Messiah in greatness and glory. Israel had an earthly expectation of the heavenly kingdom, but it comes like a mustard seed. God's kingdom develops quite different from other kingdoms. God's kingdom grows in hidden. Oh, sure, the kingdom of God is present in this world, but not on an earthly way. Oh, we can see the nations of our world. They are strong and big, and maybe you are influenced by them, boys and girls. Everyone can follow their actions and deeds of the nations of this world. And what do we see of the kingdom of heaven? Well, don't forget, it is like a mustard seed, a small begin. The earth had a lot of great kingdoms, Babylon, Persians, the Greek, and the dominion of Hitler, Deutschland. But all those kingdoms passed away. But in God's kingdom it is different. It comes and works like a mustard seed in little things. The world doesn't see it. Unbelief says it has no meaning. And what about you? Do you already see and understand that kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed? We can only understand this when in our own life is that small begin of a mustard seed. Had it started in your heart and life, that little begin, that small start of the kingdom of Lord, that work of grace, those hidden work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, do you know that secret? Only by rebirth going into this kingdom. When God's people receives the grace of the Lord, oh, then they understand it is a little start, because there is a lot of sin and guilt in their life, and that humbles them. There comes then a life in submission, for everything in my life must be renewed, the heart and mind, the will and thoughts. Conversion is an action during the whole life. Some people are converted in one day and they take Jesus as their Savior and so they are ready for heaven. No, that is not the way of God. God works like a mustard seed. He gives a small begin in the life, in the heart. And then they learn to live from the crumbs of grace. For a crumb of grace, so little crumb, it is a great wonder of the mercy of the Lord. Well, is that secret in your life already? That secret of the mustard seed? Is that small begin in your life present? Oh, then we have nothing from ourselves. Then I can be no more than a beggar and lift up my empty hands. It is a small begin. Oh, sometimes they are afraid that it isn't the true work of the Lord. For there is only so few, there is only a little start from grace. And I know so little from the Lord. But don't forget, it is like a mustard seed. God is working in little things. And the little piece of grace that is great, oh, in their own eyes, there are always shortcomings and guilt. And they say and think sometimes, well, it is so little in my life, so small start. What shall it be? How must I go on? Shall I ever be perfect converted without sin and guilt? Oh, there is a fight because of that little start. But learn from this parable the secret. Just that little, that small start, when it is from God, oh, then it will stay forever, and then it will become very great in your life. When there is only a little bit of grace in our life, oh, the Lord will work it out, that it shall be great, it shall be perfect. That's to understand the secret of the mustard seed, of the contrast of God's kingdom. It is like a mustard seed. Here, even they who are most holy, the most holy people, of most holy children of God, they have only a little start. But don't despise the day of little things. Just that little start is the great grace of the Lord. Let that be your comfort, O child of God. A small begin. But to understand that small begin had to grow like a mustard seed. And it grows under the ground and partly above the ground. It is partly visible and partly invisible. And to grow in that way, in the grace of the Lord, oh, then be humble before the Lord. Don't seek great things, but with your empty hands receive a crumb of grace. This was also the way of Jesus Christ. His way was in humility. He couldn't sit at the throne in Jerusalem. And yet he was king. But he just walked around with a simply man. Just he walked around with sinners. That was the way of his kingdom. And therefore also it is the way of the children of God in humility. Not in great things, but close to the Lord, in dependence of Him, in dependence on His grace. Oh, then it is great. Yes, it is a wonder when there is only a little start, small begin. Oh, of course, it must grow. When it doesn't grow, then it is not the true grace of the Lord. And just in growing, it becomes great, not in my own eyes. Then I get more and more small, little. But then it is great in the eyes of that king. For he must be more and more in my life, and I must be more and more away. A little start. Oh, that will be a great finish. That's what this parable of the mustard seed teaches to us. How little and small the grain of mustard seed is. When it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and it becometh a tree. The seed had to grow. And this action is partial hidden, for the roots grow in the ground, and partial it is manifest, namely in the fruits. It needs time to grow, and steadily it gets greater. The smallest of all seeds becomes the greatest among herbs. What a contrast! Nobody would expect this. Kingdom of heaven is like such a grain of mustard seed. It becomes a tree. And the tree is a symbol of the greatness and glory. A tree. Jesus means the royal rule and divine dominion of my kingdom that is great. It is like the stone in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. First it was a stone, but it fulfilled the whole earth. That is the way. The coming kingdom of the Lord. A small start, but a great finish. This contrast, that's also the way in the lives of the citizens and members of this kingdom. A contrast. And this contrast is a secret, only to understand by faith. Now the kingdom of heaven seems small, but it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The birds choose a good place for their nests. They need solid branches so that they have a place where they can dwell and are safe. Well, the tree of the mustard seed is suited for this purpose. So great is this tree, the birds feel at home there. Like this tree will be the kingdom of heaven at the end. Like the birds, they will come from every side of the heavens, from east and west. Oh, it will be a multitude of all nations and people and tongues. For the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached all over the world. For the Lord Jesus Christ will be the King of kings, and he shall have dominion also from sea to sea, yes, unto the ends of the earth. And all kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. Oh, it is almost unbelievable. What a contrast with our days, with our world. Now the kingdom of heaven has no much glory, but at the end it will be the greatest one. This kingdom shall be wonderful. It tops everything. The glory of those who are redeemed by Christ will also be magnificent. So great, we cannot think it in our hearts. So wonderful, we cannot speak it with our tongue. What a contrast with their state at this moment. Now they are sometimes the most unhappy of men. Now they are very miserable, but have comfort and encouragement. Like the birds of heaven come and lodge in the branches of this tree, also the children of God will come by the Holy Spirit, and they will come to this kingdom to dwell close near the Lord. Oh, and to him they will have a safe refuge. Now they must say, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. In him their victory is safe. Here they are losers and full of doubts. Through him they will have honor and glory, and now there is misery and unhappiness in their life. They are now strangers on this earth, for they seek another kingdom of heaven of above. But those strangers, they will feel at home in that glorious kingdom. Well, isn't it your desire to love God with all your heart, to be perfect in heaven without any sin, without any guilt, or to be in that kingdom and to serve this Lord because he is worthy, to love him, to serve him with all your heart? Oh, isn't it your desire yet to be like the birds, safe near the Lord in that kingdom? Oh, that will be the rich future of the children of God. It's almost unbelievable. Shall it be true also for me? There is only a little start, only a small begin. Yes, but that is the secret of the mustard seed. How small it is, so great it will be. Oh, that's the secret. This will be reality only by the work of Jesus Christ, that they shall be safe in glory and victory forever in the kingdom of the Lord. For the kingdom of heaven, it becomes a tree where sinners can take refuge, where they are safe with all their life. Oh, that is the rich future. Do we see this already? May you hope on this future. What an enormous contrast when you take that little grain of a mustard seed in your hand. You hardly can think that out of this grain will grow a tree, the greatest among herbs, the least of all seeds, and the greatest tree. A greater contrast, a greater difference is not thinkable. That's the secret. When you do understand this, greater contrast is not thinkable. That I, the sinner, shall be with God, the holy God, the righteous God. Do you understand this secret? Then you will experience many contrasts in your life. Do you know those contrasts? Everyone who is converted to God shall learn the contrast in his life. Or didn't it yet, it get a contrast in your life? What? While the honor of God and my life, it is a contrast. It cannot be together. It is a great contrast. Everyone who learns the contrast secret of this kingdom shall meet many contrasts. How can I give God the honor that he is worthy? For my life is to dishonor of God. Do you know this contrast? I am injustice. How can I appear for the righteous God? I am full of sin and guilt, and the Lord is full of goodness and love. What a contrast with creation. Yes, that have also the children of God to learn the contrast with creation. God had made me good, and now I am bad. Is it yet a contrast in your life that you see the corruption of the best is the most bad? It is necessary to confess this sinful contrast as guilt. And in that way, we shall experience another contrast, a graceful contrast, and we shall experience it as a wonder. God accepts sinners. He justifies those who are injustice. It's a great secret, and it is a wonder. A damnable people will be saved by him. Oh, what a contrast. That must be the greatest contrast. I in communion with God. That's the wonder of grace. And the more they receive grace, the greater the contrast gets. More contrast they shall find in their life. But also that wonderful contrast that the Lord seeks sinners to save them. Oh, isn't it rich then to understand the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed? Oh yes, we get a life full of contrasts. And we may more and more understand the secret that it is in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the greatest contrast there ever can be. He came from heaven and he descended into hell. His cradle was a manger, a crib. His throne was a cross. Oh, do you see the contrast? And there is the foundation. And there is the secret. That also in my life, and I will be saved. It is in the way of the contrast. He, who was in the perfect communion of Father, Son, and Ghost, he had to cry, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Oh, that great contrast Jesus would take to save that sinful people who had deserved the eternal contrast, the eternal depart and division from God. Oh, by this sacrifice only, wicked will be justified. Sinners can be saved. Oh, what a wonder. Then there comes a time. It will be no contrast anymore. No, it is no contrast. God's honor and my blessedness. In Christ, it is no contrast anymore. The praises of God and the eternal happiness of my great sinner. Oh, and that's a rich future. So it will be until eternity. They who may live in the strength of this contrast secret of the heavenly kingdom, they shall be active. They shall be hopeful. They shall believe. It will be great. It will be perfect. Although now it is yet very small. Do you have a small beacon? Don't look upon yourself and your misery, but see upon him and his sacrifice. He will take the greatest contrast in order that there shall be no contrast anymore in your life, in eternity. Oh, then you shall pray, "Give me an open eye and give me an open ear to see, to understand more and more that great secret of thy mercy, of thy grace in Jesus Christ." O people of the Lord, live with the contrast secret of the kingdom of heaven and remember daily, kingdom of heaven, it is like a mustard seed, small in the beginning, but great at the end. Amen. Shall we pray now?
O merciful Lord, we thank thee for the teaching of this parable. O give us an opened ear and give us open eyes so that we may understand in our hearts the secret of the contrast of the kingdom of heaven, and let thy people may experience it daily, the contrast of Jesus Christ. Oh, that they more and more may see that great secret of that great contrast in the life of the Savior, and therefore there will be no contrast anymore. It will be peace, freedom, perfect, without sin and guilt. So great, so glorious shall be thy kingdom. O Lord, now it is a small begin. It asks faith from every one of us, but it shall be a glorious end and finish. O, we pray thee, will thee, O great teacher, bring us into thy kingdom, and will thou teach us, O Jesus Christ, this secret of the contrast, so that it may be and stay a wonder. O Lord, then thy kingdom shall be blessed, thy name shall be blessed forever. Ever. We thank thee for the blessing thou hast given to us this morning, and we pray thee bring us together in this afternoon service, and we ask it the forgiveness from all our shortcomings and sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Shall we sing now Psalter 282, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4.